The following sermon was delivered by Senior Pastor Scott Black Johnston during morning worship at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with our vibrant community of faith every Sunday on the corner of Fifth Avenue and 55th Street in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. And now, here is Dr. Black Johnston.
Let us pray. Gracious God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds so that as your scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, we might hear with joy what it is that you are saying to us this day. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Almost 20 years ago, Amy and I spent the better part of December and January in Italy. We told ourselves that being so far away from home during the holidays would be an adventure, although deep down, I think we expected a fairly traditional Christmas. We anticipated something familiar, only wrapped in a different language and with substantially more pasta on the side. Instead, Italy surprised us. It messed with our script for how Christmas is supposed to unfold. On Christmas Eve, I was running around Florence, picking up groceries, buying gifts, trying to find wrapping paper. Everywhere I went, shopkeepers seemed confused by my urgency. Later, our landlady explained that in Italy, Christmas Eve is a quiet day, a contemplative day, a day for fasting. If you're looking for a big celebration with gifts and feasting, she said, it's still 12 days away. On Epiphany, on January 6th, she explained, families will gather, food will be piled on the sideboard, and presents will be delivered to the children courtesy of Befana, a witch who rides around on a broom, a woman looking for the Christ child, hoping to present him with a gift. In Italy, Christmas was different. Yes, Jesus was the reason for the season, but the rhythm of the holiday, the moments when people quietly paused or danced with joy, was different. Even the central characters were different. A witch flying around looking to give a gift to a baby. Go figure. I'm describing, of course, something that we all learned in a social studies course back in the fifth grade. Humankind's sacred celebrations vary from culture to culture. There are many distinct and faithful ways to tell our most important stories. The good book agrees. Scripture invites four different voices, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, from four different communities to tell the story of Jesus. Each of these writers introduces Jesus to the world in a unique way. In Luke, Jesus is a baby soon to be born. In Mark, Jesus is an adult who appears in the wilderness. In John, Christ is a cosmic spirit overseeing the creation of the world. Each of the Gospels has an affection for and wants to tell the story of someone who's waiting for the arrival of Jesus. Luke loves to tell about his mother, Mary. Mark is captivated by Christ's wild-eyed cousin, John. Matthew has got to tell you about the wandering magi. The Bible offers us four very different approaches to Christmas. And that's a good thing. We don't need to travel to another country to know that this Christmas is not the same as the last. Every fresh December, when we've completed another lap around the sun, we are in a different place. We stand in the world in a different way. So it's good then, very good, that Scripture has four different ways to usher in Christmas, four different approaches to meeting us where we are. This year, on our journey to Christmas, Fifth Avenue Church is going to pay a visit to the home of each of the gospel writers. We're going to study the decorations that they hang on their walls. We're going to notice who they've invited over for dinner. We're going to ask, who is the one for whom they wait? Who is the one whose arrival they would celebrate? The first house on our Christmas tour of homes belongs to Mark. Let us listen now for God's word as it echoes to us from the very beginning of the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, as we drive up to Mark's place, it's clear, it's been clear for the last few miles, that this gospel writer lives in the country, or at least that's where he is today. Mark has parked his mobile home alongside a windswept, stubble-covered field. Mark likes his freedom. He likes to move around. Sometimes you'll see him parked up the street from you. Sometimes you'll see him parked out in the middle of nowhere. He's looking for something. Walking up to Mark's trailer, it's clear that when it comes to decorating for the holidays, this fellow is a minimalist. Back in town, Matthew and Luke are going bananas competing for the best Christmas display. They've hidden audio speakers in their shrubs, blasting out the Hallelujah chorus at all hours. They've got inflatable shepherds along the sidewalks, Magi too. Out here in the country, Mark is not looking to win any prizes. He's pulled a scruffy Charlie Brown tree out of a box and stretched a single strand of lights. Mark doesn't go in for angels. He doesn't have a tabletop creche. There's no sign of Joseph or Mary or a baby lying in the straw. No baby? What a strange way to tell the story of Jesus. What a strange approach to Christmas. Most biographies, if you're a biography reader, begin by telling readers about a famous person's family. Who were her parents? Where was she raised? What kind of childhood did she have? What influences shaped her formative years? In introducing Jesus, Mark foregoes this handy convention. He doesn't tell you about Christ's family, or the day he was born, or the Little League sports that he played. Maybe Mark doesn't know these stories, or maybe he doesn't think they're important. As a matter of fact, as we study Mark's house, we might start to wonder, what is important for this guy? There's no greenery hanging from his walls. The furnishings are simple. The only decoration in the room is a wooden cross hanging in a window. There's a small card table set up in the corner. Sitting on it are a pair of binoculars and some of the oddest looking snacks this side of the Food Network. One bowl appears to be filled with dried grasshoppers. So Mark, we ask, how's it going? Looks sort of bleak in here. Not celebrating Christmas this year? How about turning on the stereo? You do have one, don't you? This place could use a few fa-la-la-la-laws. And as far as snacks go, buddy, there's a limit. I brought you a box of cookies. Throw them on a plate. Hang on, says Mark, breathless. I've got the goods. I'm going to introduce you to the Son of God. But first, I have got to show you this video. It's this En Fuego preacher from some refugee camp along the Jordan River. He's frothing at the mouth, wild horse of a man, a real thumper. This is the guy who got me hooked on the dried grasshoppers. His name? John the Baptizer. Mark starts his gospel by introducing us to John. John the prophet, John the outlier, John the guy who sleeps under a tarp, who never shaves his scraggly beard, who wears a sour-smelling vest of animal fur, who has locust legs stuck between his teeth. Mark doesn't start with a baby. He starts with a fellow standing on a soapbox out here on the corner of 5th and 55th, hollering at passersby. His message, society is a total mess, and our only hope is repentance. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. You've met John, haven't you? John's that guy at the Christmas party who kind of backs you into a corner to talk about how Facebook is mining your private information, how climate change is threatening the world's food supplies and its coastal cities, and how violent video games are rotting the brains and souls of our nation's youth. What do you do when you're faced by a guy like John? Well, he might be right. And he might be crazy. He just might be the lunatic you're looking for. Thank you for getting that. But actually, John is not what most people are looking for. His voice is too darn shrill, too in-your-face candid for a polite holiday gathering. We expect something softer, something more comforting out of Christmas. In the brilliant under-recognized film from 2006, Talladega Nights. Will Ferrell plays Ricky Bobby, a successful race car driver on the NASCAR circuit. My favorite scene in this film comes when Ricky Bobby is saying grace over the family meal, and he's addressing his prayer to the baby Jesus. Ricky Bobby offers thanks for all manner of blessings, including racetrack wins and million-dollar checks and the upcoming release of blueberry-flavored Powerade. In the middle of this rambling prayer, after calling on the baby Jesus for the fifth time, an argument breaks out. Right in the middle of the prayer, an argument breaks out between Ricky Bobby and his father-in-law, and they're arguing about whether or not it's appropriate to address the Almighty as the 8-pound infant Jesus in his fleecy gold diapers. Ricky Bobby's response is direct. I like the Christmas Jesus best. You can pray to whatever Jesus you want when it's your turn. I like the Christmas Jesus best. How many of us secretly agree? Do we prefer an infant in gold diapers to a bearded street corner prophet calling us on the carpet and reminding us of all the stuff that's wrong with the world? Mark pleads, think before you answer. There's a reason Mark is a Christmas minimalist. He sweeps all the unnecessary clutter out of the picture so that we can have a clear view of our predicament. Everything that's left, Mark's mobile home, the barren field where he parked it, the cross in the window, the John the Baptist sermons playing on TV, everything that's left points to the gospel writer's searing diagnosis of the human condition. We live, says Mark, we live in a wilderness. Every day we walk through a desert, through political, social, and personal desolations. Now, many will dismiss Mark's diagnosis as being too gloomy. Listen, buddy, you need to ditch that caravan. You need to get yourself a new groove. Find yourself a Santa hat and some candy canes and lighten up. But Mark is unflinching. And a visit to his trailer is, without question, a cold splash in the face. He's honest. And that fact alone may get our attention. In this truth-starved world, words of integrity are a rare tonic. But that's not all. Mark wants to do more than wake us up. He wants to do more than scold us. Much more. There's a reason that this evangelist parks his mobile home out at the edge of the wilderness. Every week, as one of this church's clergy, I watch people in this congregation make their way through the desert. This past week, I sat in my office and talked with a young woman planning a funeral service for her estranged husband, a man who took his own life. In recent weeks, everyone who knew this fellow has been slogging through a barren land. This past week, I spoke with a man, one of our ushers, who told me with a tremor in his voice about his upcoming heart surgery. He too is walking through the wilderness. 2 days ago, I received an email from a woman who fears that she cannot afford the Christmas that her children see advertised on TV. So much desert. My wise friend Tom R. describes it this way. The wilderness isn't a zip code. The wilderness is anywhere God's people are being tested. The wilderness is anywhere the stuff of life seems scarce and our souls are parched. The wilderness is anywhere that we must battle to stand tall because we are surrounded by forces that would make us afraid and small and forgetful and not able to remember that we too are children of God. The wilderness isn't a zip code. It's a hard scrabble, knock the breath out of your place. You've been there. Maybe you are there right now. Every day, Mark sits in that trailer and surveys the wilderness with his binoculars. He's not taking a census. Whenever he spots someone struggling through its harsh terrain, he calls out, "Hey, over here, listen, I don't want to freak you out, but I've been watching, and it looks like you're having a tough go. Would you like to sit a bit? I'll put on a pot of coffee. Come on over. After all, you're the reason I park my home on the edge of this field." Mark invites us in. He pulls out a chair hands us a hot mug. He turns on the stereo. Yes, he has a stereo. What's on Mark's playlist? Well, he starts, of course, with our opening hymn for today. Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appear. It's music for people in the wilderness, right? It's a signal flare, a cry for help. God, we're frightened. We feel isolated, broken, on edge. We are so very sad at the state of things. We are mourning in lonely exile here. Send us help, God. Come, ransom us, free us. As the carol ends, Mark shuts off the stereo. He clicks off the TV too. Looking around at his sparse decoration, we cannot help but think this is one heck of a weird Christmas. But then it comes. A simple, unmistakable drum roll that quickens our hearts. A knock at the door. Who is it? Who else is out here in the middle of this wilderness? I'll get it, says Mark. There's someone I want you to meet. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. Two things. First, some crafty soul out there already got to Kate. We've got a new pulpit Bible. And second, it's Advent. We have lit the candle of hope. So go from here in hope that whatever wilderness you are in, there is one speeding on his way to find you. Go from here trusting in the love of God, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and clinging to one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and provided a message of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you are in New York City, we invite you to visit our historic church and join us for worship. You will find our address, worship calendar, and other information on our website, fapc.org. If you would like to help support this audio ministry, please text the dollar amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Again, that is the amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Thank you, and God bless.